Philippians chapter 3 today, and we're going to read through this one more time, verses 7 to 17. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 17, I will read out loud on the odd verses by myself. You can read with me out loud on the even verses as we go through this passage from verses 7 through 17 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Well, as we continue on here, we're looking at the Apostle Paul, his statement here. As in Philippians, he in verse 1, we've not really gone through it per se, but he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So, you know, Paul is really kind of wrapping things up here, and I know it's just chapter 3. There's still another chapter, chapter 4. But Paul has this constancy about him, this ingrained love and feeling and desire for these churches that he had a part of starting. That he went in to the cities and into the synagogues and preached the gospel, and he got to see people converted, see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. These were individuals that he personally led to the Lord, personally witnessed to, personally discipled in these things. And he has a love, an affection, and a care, and a burden for them to succeed as Christians for the cause of Christ. You know, he has a great zeal in persecuting the Christians. And he carried that great zeal into his Christian life as he went about doing the work of God. That's why Paul could, with great compassion and with great understanding and great truth and knowledge, say, "I press toward the mark." He was one that lived his faith. He was one that lived out his salvation. And folks, let me tell you something. As Christians in this day and age, we must more than ever live out our salvation to this world. I'm glad that you came to a place where you knew you were a sinner, that you knew you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior. You knew that the sin of your life, that you were accountable to a holy God, and you were condemned already in trespasses and sins. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And most of us in here, hopefully all, have come to a place where you realize that we are sinners. We are condemned to hell already. But Jesus Christ, the Savior, came, providing salvation for us. And all it takes is a turning. That repentance and faith, turning from whatever it was that we were trusting in, whether it was ourself, whether it was religion, whether it was nothing, whatever it was, and turning to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, save me. It's that simple. It's childlike faith. And for those that have made that transition in your life, that you, there's been a time and a place where you've understood these things and you've turned to Jesus Christ and accepted His free gift of eternal life. Salvation is yours. And now there's a life to live. Now there's a race to run. Now there's something to press toward. And we talked about that mark, that seeable thing that we can press toward, and it results in a prize. If you look at verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You understand that there is something to be gained. There is something to be attained. You say, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Salvation, that is the prize. No, that is not the prize. You understand that a prize is something to be earned. Something to be gained. Well, guess what? You can't earn salvation. You can't. It's of no merit. You see, this is not something that has to do with eternal life. This is not something that has to do with salvation. This is something that has to do with life after salvation. This has to do with our standing, if you will, in the eyes of the Lord because of salvation. You see, the kids in our track club several weeks ago, they learned about the judgment seat of Christ, often referred to as the Bema seat. And a time where those that are born again, those that have the gift of eternal life, will be judged by Jesus Christ Himself. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, that has nothing to do with salvation. That has to do with the prize. That has to do with the reward. That has to do with the crowns. And that's what we're going to talk about today, these things that are referred to in Scriptures, because the word prize is only mentioned twice in our King James Bibles. The word reward is listed, I think the thing said, for different intents and purposes, over 60 times. Rewarded another 6 or 7 times. And the word crown several times, 20 or 30 times. Sometimes having to do with like the crown of a king, you know, king's crown, things like that. But many times referred to as this reward or this prize, this thing that we're pressing toward the mark for. You see, as we press, as we urge, and we bear with force on this visible, attainable thing, this mark, a prize is to be had. You know what a prize simply is? It's a reward gained by any performance. Any valuable thing that's gained, or that which is deemed a valuable acquisition. You see, there is a purpose to the Christian life. There is something to be done for Christ after salvation. Again, not to receive salvation, but because salvation has been received. You understand that God wants us to achieve. We ought not to be lazy. We ought not to be apathetic. We ought not to just lay back and say, well, I have salvation now. I'm just going to kind of live comfortably to the end here, whenever that may be. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast, right? You remember that parable? We don't just eat, drink, and be merry and just kind of live our lives how we feel they ought to be lived. There's a cause. Remember what David said? Is there not a cause? Hey, you know what? The apostles in the early church, there was a cause that they didn't have to endure the persecution. They didn't have to go through all of that, but there was something to live for. There was something to accomplish. There was a mark to press toward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we go through this chapter of scripture here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul's talking about these things. He talks about his old life and all the religious and righteous things that he had gained before salvation. He said, I counted all of them loss for Christ. Folks, the things of this world, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, at the judgment seat of Christ will all be burned up. And they'll be counted as a loss. They don't mean anything. There's no purpose to them. Listen, I hope that you're able to have a roof over your head and food to eat and those things. But can I tell you, that's not what life is all about. I hope that you have a reliable vehicle to drive, and I hope that you maybe even are able to have some nice things. Hey, listen, it's nice. It's nice to have some things. But can I tell you, sometimes it's not so nice because they're a burden. Then you need more space to put all those things. I couldn't believe it. When we were in Bible college and got married and finished a year of Bible college after we got married. And, you know, young family, we got 2003. Finished up that semester and then another one. And so August of 2005, we had a one-year-old. So we had Anna. And Ethan was on the way. And he was the smallest he'd ever be at that time. Now he's just a giant. And I'm a little fearful because our latest child was heavier than he was when he was born. And so I don't know what's going to be with Flora, if she's going to be a giant or what. But, you know, I was amazed. We lived in a little apartment. We were poor college students. There were times where we had turkey loaf. You know, ramen noodles and hot dogs were a staple of things for us to eat. And so we're preparing to move to Texas. Y'all should just say amen right there. I mean, from the communist state of Illinois to Texas. Anybody should want to make that move. I mean, so we're getting ready. And we're going around our little two-bedroom apartment. We didn't have much of anything, we didn't think. But as we get this truck, this U-Haul truck, and we're loading it up, we're like, where did all this junk come from? We filled that darn thing full of junk. We even had to leave a few things behind because it wouldn't fit. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And we even had a minivan to fill, and my car was on the back of a trailer, and we filled that too, and we still left some stuff behind. How do we get all that stuff? And now, my goodness, we moved from Arlington to here. We moved for a solid 3 months before we moved. And we still had to get the biggest U-Haul truck they had. And we still left some stuff behind, I think, as well. It's just too much stuff. But can I tell you something? That's not what life's all about. It's not about position. It's not about status. It's not about what you can gain. For what shall it profit a man if he does what? Gain the whole world, but do what? Lose his own soul. Can I tell you something? What does it profit a Christian if he gained the whole world, but don't win the prize? You see, this particular passage is not talking about salvation. Although salvation is a prerequisite to accomplishing, pressing toward the mark, and winning the prize. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. You say, well, that's greedy, that's selfish, you're trying to win a prize. Oh, yes, but guess what? This prize is not for me. It's given to me for what I have accomplished for Christ. But we're going to find out here in just a few moments that we get an opportunity to pass that prize on to whom it belongs. In 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to turn over there, just a few more, turn back a few chapters, books of the Bible rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul explains this thing about a prize, and he talks about how we ought to go about this thing and what it actually is all about here as we look for this understanding of what this means for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In verse 14, he says in chapter 9, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Let me just say to you this. That's why it's called the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This doesn't have to do with wealth. It doesn't have to do with a monetary prize. It doesn't have to do with physical gain. This is a purely spiritual thing. He says that we should preach the gospel, should live of the gospel. "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of this of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I hope you understand this thing of a prize is not a selfish thing, but rather a truly unselfish prize. Something that we are striving to obtain, not for our own benefit, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul clearly says, hey, this is a reward. But this is not a reward of something that I'm doing unwillingly against my will, but I'm doing it for the cause of Christ, that it might succeed, that God might succeed, that the kingdom of heaven might be expanded because I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm pressing toward the mark. He says, hey, don't just run. Oh, yep, running the race, doing a good job. No, run that ye may obtain. In the physical life, when a race is run, only one wins a prize. But guess what? In the spiritual life, all those that receive or reach the mark receive the prize. We ought to run that we may obtain. We ought to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, it is not a selfish thing. It is probably the most unselfish thing that we can do. Giving all that we have, spending all that we have for the glory of God, for the cause of Christ, to run the race to obtain the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's like, I don't want to fall short. I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to not reach the prize. There's a prize to obtain, and I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize. Paul mentioned these rewards. He mentioned that these things, there is something that's going to happen because of pressing toward the mark, because of reaching that point. Back in our text in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says these things, and after he makes mention of this prize, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He says, hey, this is something that we ought to do. He says, those that are doing these things, you ought to mark them and follow after them, because they're running the race. They're pressing toward the mark. They're trying to obtain the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You understand that there's a prize to be run. There's a race to be run. There are crowns. The Bible speaks of crowns. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Listen to this. Have you thought about this verse of Scripture? It's a great verse of Scripture. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Well, if God tells us to get something, shouldn't we get it? Right? Get wisdom. It's a principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding, he says, right? So if God says go after wisdom, embrace her, honor her, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. And then there's a byproduct to getting wisdom that she'll give to you a crown of glory. Again, I told you before, as we press toward the mark, we're supposed to obtain, right? We're supposed to try to win the prize. That it tells us about the effort that we're supposed to give. Listen, are all going to get a prize? You know, I'm not for the modern movement of today that everybody's a winner. Our cross country team on one of the state championship or the state tournament or whatever it was, cross country meet for state. We had on our shirts, second place is the first loser. I mean, yeah. Now, folks, can I tell you something? Not all are going to receive the crowns. Not all are going to receive the prize. But if we press toward the mark, and as Paul later on says, he said, hey, I've fought a good faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, hey, I reached the mark. Here in Philippians, he says, I press toward the mark. He said, hey, I've not attained. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten there yet, but I will. And at the end of his life, there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells Timothy, I have accomplished it. I've reached that mark. I've finished my course. He says, "I guess what, Timothy? I got the prize. I got the prize." Listen to what he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's another crown. By getting wisdom and embracing wisdom, wisdom will give to us a crown of glory. By finishing the course and keeping the faith, there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Oh, and Paul says this, and not to me only,
but unto all them also that love his appearing. Other times in Proverbs and in Isaiah, it talks about the crown of glory. And it always has to do with wisdom and righteousness. You know, when we embrace wisdom, it results in righteousness in our life. And when we fight a good fight, and we keep the faith, and we finish our course, we receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us at that day. In James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In Revelation chapter 2, speaking to the church, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall be cast, shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You understand, folks, that we ought to press toward the mark to receive the prize. We see in Scripture the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. These things are mentioned to us. This incorruptible crown that fadeth not away, right? Reserved in heaven for you. Listen, folks, these are things we're pressing toward the mark. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our works are going to be tried. Of what sort they are. Whether they're gold, silver, or precious stones, or whether they're wood, hay, and stubble. There's some interesting things mentioned about crowns and rewards and the prize that we're pressing toward the mark for. In Philippians 1, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Colossians 3, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. In Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Jesus is speaking to the local church. He says, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Isn't that an interesting statement? You understand that we can be fooled into thinking something is worth attaining that it's not? You know what Paul said? I'm concerned about being a castaway. Then when I've preached to others that I myself should be a castaway. Another portion of Scripture, Paul says, who's deceived you? Who's caused you to turn away from the gospel so quickly? You know, there are people that are trying to steal our crown, if you will. They're trying to get us sidetracked and get us off course and take us away from running the Christian race as we should. You know, for a while, you can run well. Who's going to hinder you? Who's going to cause you to stumble? Who's going to cause you to fall? Who's going to cause you to fall short of the mark and steal away the crown from you? That's why we're supposed to endure to the end. That's why we're supposed to press toward the mark. Can I tell you something? You're not going to attain here in this life. It's going to be from finishing. Being faithful unto the end. As Christ talks to the seven churches there, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Why would he say, behold, I come quickly, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown? If it couldn't be taken away, if it couldn't be lost, why would he say that? Paul said, I finished my course. He knew that his time was up. And at the time of his writing in 2 Timothy 4, it was not long after that he would depart this world. And guess what? Paul was faithful to the end. We ought to be faithful to the end. We ought to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 4, tells us why this is so important. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the master who went away? And He gave unto the one man 5 talents. Gave unto the other 2, and to another 1. And he went on his journey, right? And he said, occupy till I come. And the one man diligently went about, and with the 5 talents that he had been given, earned other 5. And when the man that, after the master left, had been given 2 talents, he went out and earned other 2. And the other one took the 1 talent that he had been given and went and buried it. When the master returned, the one that had been given 5 brought the 5 other to the master. Here it is. Here's 10. Guess what commendation he received? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Did you notice that he didn't give back the master the 5 and pocket the other 5. Did you notice that? Now let me ask you a question. Did he take what his master gave him and do well with it? And what did he earn? 5 more. But again, was that 5 for him? Or was it for the master? All 10 were presented to the master. The man that had been given 2, he came to the master and said, here, master, here's your 2. No, he said, master, here's your 2 and the 2 that I've earned. And he presented them to the master. They belonged to the master, all 4 of them. He also and likewise received a commendation from the master. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But the one that had been given the 1 talent. And I'm always going to tell you when something is my opinion, okay? But the wording of this conversation seems to be that he didn't even bring the talent that he'd been given with him. Because he said, lo, it's there. I think he buried it and just left it buried. He didn't even bring it and present it to the master. That's my opinion, okay? You can look into that and read it on your own. But even that's terrible, but even what's worse is, even if he would have brought the 1 to the master back again, he didn't bring anything else. And he did not receive a commendation, but rather a condemnation. You know, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, the Bible tells us that the wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned. And it'll be counted as a loss. You see, there's something to be pressed toward the mark for the prize. So that when we, like these 24 elders that were before the throne and the beast, when they were worshiping Him, they cast their crowns at His feet, saying, Thou art worthy. You see, this crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, these things that are given to us, they're not for us to pocket and say, look at me, look at my crown. I'm special in heaven. I'm to be honored. I'm to be gloried. I'm to be magnified. No, 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 no. Not at all. And so we can cast our crowns at His feet and say, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Paul said, it's not a selfish act. I'm not trying to win these crowns for myself. I'm trying to win them for my Lord who gave all for me. That's why I press toward the mark. That's why I do these things. Well, there are many scriptures here. We've got two whole pages of them. Not just the prize, not just the crowns, but the reward. You understand that in our English language, the word bribe is something given to someone to do something wrong. That's bribery. That's not good, right? These things are not a bribe to try to get us to do something wrong. The word reward is something given to someone for doing something good, right? Folks, does God encourage us and tell us to live righteously? To live a holy life? To live a life pleasing unto Him? And what does a good master do? Reward. What does a good father do? Reward. Is God good? My dad has a saying. He'll say, God is good. You should answer all the time. And then he says all the time, and you should answer, God is good. Because He is. One song that I know says, He's so good. And if God is good, and God has given the precedent of doing good deserves a reward, then guess what He wants from us? Oh, last time I checked, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that we should walk in them. And guess what walking in them provides us? A reward. A prize. Again, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Listen to this. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, it says. And in keeping of them there is great reward. So if I press toward the mark, in keeping the commands of God, and Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And we love Him because He first... Boy, this all goes together, folks. It just winds itself around and around and around and around. As we press toward the mark, as Paul explains in Philippians chapter 3, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said, we need to press toward the mark. And I've not attained already. I've not apprehended. But it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Folks, as we press toward the mark, it's a life of selflessness. We're not doing it to win the prize so that we can get to heaven and say, I won the prize. No, So when we get to heaven, we can say, Jesus, this prize is yours. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Listen to this. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. I think sometimes in our churches, people confuse what we say. Good works has nothing to do with salvation. I couldn't be any more clear than that. But that doesn't mean that good works aren't important. Just because they are of no part of salvation doesn't mean they shouldn't be accomplished. Doesn't mean that they're void and null. Doesn't mean that God's grace just kind of covers everything like good gravy covers everything. I'm going to preach a message about that one time. Why God's grace is like gravy. That sounds like a wonderful message. I'm going to have to develop that thought. Yeah, let's have a gravy night. Oh, that's a good idea. A snack night. Great. We'll call it gravy night. Amen. All these wonderful things. Hallelujah. Don't you just love the Holy Spirit? He just takes things and runs with it. Where was I going with all of that? I don't know. It doesn't make works of none effect. I think it actually, what's the word? Expounds the effect of works. It's not to be saved, it's because we're saved. There is a mark to press towards, and there is a prize to earn. And listen to this. I've already mentioned this, but just for... we're already listening too slow this morning. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Jesus says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or which is Jesus Christ. So even this particular scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is saying there is no other foundation. Jesus is the foundation. Salvation is through him only. But if we build upon salvation, if we begin to live the Christian life, if we begin to run the race, which we've now entered because of Jesus Christ, he says this work is what's tried. If any man build upon this foundation, if you build gold and silver and precious stones, if you build wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. The Bible is very clear. It doesn't just stop there. He says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I think any denomination, if you want to call them that, any religion that doesn't understand eternal security has cut this passage of Scripture out of their Bibles. It doesn't make any sense. But there is a race to run. There is a mark to press toward in the Christian life. And there is a prize. You can call it a crown. You can call it a reward. Whatever you want to call it, it is real. And it is out there. It is something to be attained. It is something that we ought to consider valuable, that we ought to try to acquire, that we ought to gain by performance, because it's something that is a prize to press toward. A mark to reach, to earn this prize. Again, not for our benefit, but for His glory. Let me ask you a question. What is your motivation in life as a Christian, if you are born again? Don't you want to please Him who hath saved you? Don't you want to bring honor and glory to His name? As a servant to a master, don't you want to please the Lord? Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus is serious about this, isn't he? That's why it's called the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because it has to do with the Christian life and how we run the race and how we press toward the mark of righteousness, the mark of holiness, the mark of separation. Then we talked about these words recently in our Wednesday night Bible studies. Folks, there is a life to live, and it's not according to our purpose, it's according to His purpose. Because we've been created in Christ Jesus unto these good works, unto this race, unto this life, to press toward the mark, to win the prize in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you today, as we are about to enter into the second month of this year, to take as a banner in your individual life or in your household, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.